Okay, so let's continue the more of a shemesh on the Haggadah. V'hisha amda la voseinu v'lan. Yesh la havin al amro v'hisha amda. What stood by us? V'hisha amda. What's it referring to? What's it talking about? Shepshuta moresh is a chus ha'amr lama la amda lahem. The pashup shot is that the merits of the Jewish people, the efforts, the promises that Hashem made us, all of that is v'hi shamda. That's what stood by us, watched over us. But it's a little bit unclear exactly what it's going back on. So what's the v'hi shamda? What's the v'hi shamda commenting on? If you just look in the flow of the Haggadah, just to get us into context for a second. Right, so Magid starts Halach Ma'anya, and then we pour the second cup, and that's supposed to get the children to start asking, "Hey, what's going on here?" Manishtana Halayla Zeh. So we answer. We say, "Avadim Hayinu LeParv Mitzrayim," and Hashem took us out, and Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nevonim. We have a mitzvah to tell the story, and then it tells the story about Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu, can I get Arba Banim? Four sons. Yachol Me Rosh Chodesh, maybe you should start telling the story on Rosh Chodesh. No, we don't do that. And then we go dip back into history. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we used to be idol worshippers. Baruch Shomer Havtachas Ol Yisrael Baruch Hu, thank you Hashem for keeping all of your promises. Right. We went to Mitzrayim, you told us we're going to become a great nation, we did. And then V'hisha Amda La Voseinu V'lanu. What? The fact that we had four sons, the fact that Hashem made us a promise, the fact that we used to be idol worshippers. What's the it that it's going on? The Hisha Amna. This is what has stood by our side throughout the generations. Gam Amru Vihisha Amda Lashon Nekeva Tzarech Havana. And we need to think about it in the context of Vihisha Amda, in the female, in the Nekeva, Lashon Nekeva. What is that? Who is that? What is that? What's it referencing? However, if you have to ask yourself in one word what the goal of the Seder night is, the one word is Amunah. It's recognizing a God who's active in the world, which we don't always feel in our life. But Hashem revealed Himself to take us out of Mitzrayim. So the Shoresh of our Avodah is to know and to clarify in our hearts the great faith of a Jew that Hashem Yisvarach is the Ikar, Hashem is the root, Hashem is the essence, Hashem is the everything, is the Shoresh de Kule Almin, is the root of all worlds. V'leis asar panoi minei, and there is no asar, there is no place that is panoi minei, that is devoid of Him. And to want to be someone who wants to be connected to that. So on Pesach, it's much easier to live with that. On a regular Wednesday afternoon, it's a little harder to live with that. But that's the goal. That's the overarching goal of the Seder. It's a night of Amunah. It's a night of clarifying our faith. The Kasher Kishura, B'chol Klolus Am B'nei Yisrael, Godel HaAmunah B'Achduso Yisvarach Shemo. And when we, the Jewish people, have that clarity, when we strongly, collectively know that truth, azay lahem ha'oz v'hakoach l'hachriach gam umas ha'olam kulam shiyodu bal korcham l'achduso yizvarach shemo. When we know it, so it creates a ripple effect in the world, that the world comes to know it. We see throughout history that when the Jewish people are true to themselves, so the world responds in turn. And when we start to act with a lack of clarity, that has a negative ripple effect in the world. So again, when we know what we believe, when we have our value system clear, so that gives strength to us to l'achriach, almost of necessity, to demand of the world that the world should also come to recognize the oneness of Hashem. But if we don't know it, how can I expect anyone else to know it? If I don't have a relationship with my parent, so how can I expect my friend to have a relationship with my parent? How can I expect someone else to appreciate my parents? I myself don't have a proper hakaras hatov for my own parents. Va'oz ein l'umas olam shlita klal uklal al am Yisrael. When we know our own story, when we have the clarity of our own truth, so then no one can dominate us. But when we start to play by their rules, so then we play by their rules. And that's what we long for. We look forward to the day, right, where the whole world is going to recognize the oneness of Hashem. Or like the Navi says, that the whole world, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem. But we have to start. We have to be leaders in that. We have to know our own history. We have to know our own story. We have to know our own values. And then we'll go from there. V'zeo nikra b'fi chachmei ha'emes b'chinas d'chura. V'pnei shekocham gadol v'chazak v'ha'emuna. When we have sort of this ability to know ourselves well and to be mashpia in a positive way, that's called a masculine aspect. What does that mean? What that means is that in the male-female reality, right, so... And again, this is a prototype. It's not always true, right? But you use the simplest example of the formation of a child, right? The man is the one who's mashpia, the zera, and the woman is the one whose egg becomes fertilized, right? The man gives over his seed. The woman then produces, over the course of a long period of time, she nurtures and develops that child within her. So again, in the mashal, which has reality in our world, right, the man is mashpia, and the woman is a receiver. And the siros, yisod, corresponds to the bris milah, right? And malchus, the lowest of the siros, is really just like a kli that wants to receive. Right? So, you know, malchus is considered, I guess, the most feminine of the siros, right? And all of this sort of... all of his energy is collecting in Yesod and then being mashpia into Malchus. So, again, the idea of what he calls here Bechinas Dechura, and Dalet and Zayin are interchangeable between Hebrew and Aramaic, it means the masculine aspect is the ability to what? The ability to strongly know our values and to be able to push it out to the world. That's the prototype of Zachar. Okay. Achein be'im chas v'shalom noflim b'madrei gasa migodal amuna. But when we, God forbid, don't have that strength and we don't have that clarity, we're not able to influence properly, to be that light unto the nations, to influence the world. If we fall from our madrei and our amuna, ve'einan miyachdim Hashem yizvarach v'cholev, and we become unsure of our values, and we're waiting for someone else to teach me my values, as opposed to having the values and sharing it, being in a position of teaching it, of sharing it, of spreading it. If we're kind of waiting for someone else to give it over to us, and we're ready to receive it, as ein bekocham la'achriach ha'umas ha'olam li'ikar ha'amuna. So then it's very hard for us to be influencers in the world, to give over that amuna to the world, because we don't have it ourselves. So because we are spiritually weakened in our own values, so that has also a physical ramification in the sense that the world thinks they can take advantage of us. We're not empowered, give me one more second, we're not empowered to what? To lead the world. Right? Again, I always make this point, but I'll say it again, because it has to be incredibly clear in your mind. Being the chosen people is not a bragging right. It's a responsibility. Being chosen does not mean, oh, we're better, and therefore we do what we want. The opposite. It's a massive achrayus. It's a huge responsibility. Again, as a great rabbi once said, being chosen is a double-edged sword, right? We're chosen to receive the Torah. We're chosen to be sent to the gas chambers. So being chosen is not always. Being singled out is not all, it's not all privileges. But more than anything, God forbid for us to think, oh, because we're Hashem's Am HaNivchar, so therefore we can just coast along. No, the opposite. You're the Am HaNivchar, so you have to care more about humanity and the world and everything more than anyone else. Everyone else can sit on the couch and play Xbox. You can't. I mean, a little bit you can. But a lot of it you can't. Because that's not what you were chosen to do. You were chosen to be a leader in the world. So if we're passive, right? Again, using this male-female prototype, where the man is more active and the woman is more on the receiving end, right? In the relationship, or again, in the formation of the child. Even in halacha, there's a whole question, you know, with Esther, who's involved with Achashverosh, why is she not usher to Mordechai? It says that Esther was, when Achashverosh, you know, Lo Aleinu took advantage of her sexually, right? The Gemara refers to Esther as Karka Olam, which means that she made herself almost inanimate. She was not active in the sexual process. She lay there, Achashverosh did what he did, right? But she didn't make herself active. Right? A man can't do that in the sexual act. So for that reason, when we again don't have that strength, and we don't take pride in leading the world and directing the world with our emunah, with our values, with our belief in Hashem, so then we've made ourselves weak spiritually, and then the world doesn't respect us, and then they enslave us. But sometimes Hashem will still save us. Right? When Hashem sees us as that, you know, that maiden in distress, his beloved Jewish people being taken advantage of, Hashem will sometimes come to our defense. And this is called, again, the feminine aspect, when we're more passive and we're more ready to receive, but less active in shaping the world. Biologically, men are typically stronger than women. Are there women who are stronger than men? Sure. But generally speaking, right, the way the body is built, men are typically stronger than women. So strength doesn't just mean muscles. Strength means what? Strength means the ability to be proactive, to own our story, to own our history, to own our values, and to guide the world. Bechinas nukva means that we're not strong in our values, we're not clear. Again, ironically, it's the woman who provides the values, right? I mean, the emunah of a Jew comes from the mother. Your Judaism is determined not by your father, by your mother. That's interesting. Okay? But maybe that's part of it. I mean, the man has an obligation to be more proactive in acquiring his Yiddishkeit. So concludes the Rabbi, and then I'll take comments. V'zeu sha'amru, v'hi sha'amda. So we ask the question, why is it nekeva, v'hi sha'amda? What's it referring to? What's it going on? One of my friends once told me a great vart. He said that he heard from one of his relatives that whenever they got to v'hi sha'amda, they turned to the women of the household. Right? Whether it's, you know, in my case it will be my wife and my mother, who will hopefully be at my Seder table, and I guess my daughters also, right? And say, v'hi sha'amda lavoseinu v'lanu. Right? Well, who's the v'hi? Right? It's the strength of our Jewish women. I can tell you my wife's going to end up doing more than I'm helping out a lot for Pesach, but at the end of the day, if we're going to have a Seder in our house, my wife's going to make it happen. My mother's going to make it happen. So v'hi sha'amda, it's really the Judaism which is defined by the emunah and the efforts and the efforts of Jewish women that have upheld, you know, so much of who we are. So v'hi sha'amda, but again, based on this idea that female represents a more weakened, passive Klal Yisrael, perish k'shehein chas v'shalom v'chinas nukva. That when the Jewish people, right, are not proactive, when they're not strong, when they're not turning outward, when they're more reserved. And again, all of those traits can be good traits. It's not a knock on women. Don't misunderstand anything here. Right? But in the prototype of being mashpia and makabel, when we're waiting to receive Mashiach as opposed to bringing Mashiach, so then we delay our own destiny. We can sit around and say, okay, I'll sit on the couch, and when Mashiach comes, I'll get off the couch and I'll go back to Yerushalayim. Or I could try to make Mashiach come. I could take a chrayas to make it happen. So v'hi sha'amda, right? Sha'amda lavoseinu. He says very interesting. When we're passive in our destiny, then amda lavoseinu. Amda means what? Amda means to uphold. But omeid could also mean what? I'm not a holech. I'm not moving forward. The delay, the reason that I'm kind of stuck, standing still, lashon akava, right? Being held up, kamo v'ta'amod miledes, like the pasuk says, and she stopped giving birth. It says she stood from birthing. It means she stopped. So v'hi, when we're passive about, again, owning our values and teaching our story and educating our children, and we're just kind of sitting around waiting for Mashiach to happen, that's Omda Labosinu. That holds things up. Shelo Echad Bilvad Perish. When we're low echad bilvad means that I have emuna that Hashem is everything. That's called echad bilvad. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem echad. That's everything. But when I'm low echad bilvad, when I'm not only focused on Hashem, when I'm distracted by all sorts of other things, so then amar aleinu l'chalaseinu. So then low aleinu, then God forbid, that lack of clarity of my faith. When I don't have the oneness of Hashem clear in my mind. And by the way, that's kind of also the punchline of the Seder. You know, Echad mi yodea. That song that we sing at the end. Do I know one? Do I have a clarity? And then when I emerge into the world of 2 and 3 and 4, who knows 7? Who knows 8? Who knows 9? Right? But I always roll it back to 1. I always come back to what? Echad. Echad. I come back to the Echad. I come back to the one. Because even as the world seems to be fragmented, which it is on a certain level, right? There's that bus right outside the window, and then there's this pile of farm, and then there's this chair and that heater over there, and the whiteboard behind me. So it looks like the world's a lot of different things, but I always have to try to pull it back to one. So when it's low echad bilvad, when I feel that I'm living a fragmented life, then omar aleinu l'chaloseinu. It's an invitation for the world to say, look at these wimpy Jews. Look at these Jews. They're a problem that need to be gotten rid of, God forbid. It's an invitation to anti-Semitic attacks upon our people. But when we have strength and we have clarity and we're true to ourselves and we don't compromise, ironically, because often it seems like, oh, if we just compromise more, then the world would like us, and that's never been the case. When we're true to ourselves, we own our own, again, destiny, right? Then we can march towards Mashiach. Then we're not omid. Then we're not omda labosena. We don't get stuck. And he says, but even so, and that's what we're thanking Hashem, and here's the punchline of the piece, vihi, even when we're passive in bringing Mashiach, in clarifying our emunah, even when omda labosena, even when we do get stuck, even when shelo echad bavad, we're not living with the oneness of Hashem, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzi leinu miyadam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has Rachmanis on us, and Hashem still saves us. And that's very much the story in Mitzrayim. We were in a pretty low place, and Hashem still, in His graciousness, came and redeemed us. But now that Hashem kind of picked us up, and got us going, so come on, we got to do it. D'hainu b'ritzono HaKadom. Hashem, with His original generosity and kindness of spirit, shumidas v'chanosi es asher achon, afal pi she'enu kadai v'hagon. Like the Gemara says on that pasuk, I will show grace to the one who is gracious. The Gemara says, even if the person is not worthy. Sometimes there's a certain chayin. There's a certain rachmanis. You look at a person and you say, you know what, this person, if I was being really objective, this person doesn't deserve it, but how could I not? It's my son asking me, you know, Daddy, can I take a piece of candy? Do you really need it right now? But you have such a cute smile, Yaakov. I'm going to say no to you. Right? So that's, even though it doesn't make sense on a certain level, right? Hashem looks at us in Mitzrayim, we're on the 49th level of Tumah. Hashem says, I see a chayin, I see something here. I choose you even in that place. But once God, you know, once God invests in your company, once Hashem gives you the seed money to get started, so then you gotta own it, you gotta build it. So again, this paragraph, this short little paragraph that we say in the Gada is, on the one hand, placing a great responsibility on our shoulders, but also simultaneously thanking Hashem for the times when I was passive and I was weakened and I wasn't proactive in moving Yiddishkeit forward. Thank you, Hashem, for afal pichein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu v'yadam. Thank you, Hashem, for coming to my rescue. Okay, yeah.
Rabbi kind of asked my question about, like, if why does the Judaism come from the mother versus the father? If the father is mashpia, then
right, right, that? You would think, right? And the father is the one who has the obligation to teach, right? There's something inherent about, right? There's something automatic, right? It's almost like there's a certain quality of a depth of emunah that automatically is transferred by the mother, but then has to be nurtured by the father. It's an interesting thing. Definitely interesting to think about. Even Rav Shimshon Pinkus has an interesting thing in one of his svarim. He says, You know, we know there are three partners in the creation of a child, right? A mother, a father, and Hashem. So he says, the Gemara says that the man provides the white of the body, and the woman provides the red of the body, and Hashem provides the neshama. Right? What's the white? The bones are the white. The red is what? The red is the blood. But even at the Seder, Rav Shimshon Pinchas says, the white, so to speak, is the matzah, and the red, so to speak, is the wine. In other words, the matzah has a certain masculine quality to it, and the wine has a certain feminine quality to it, which is so interesting. Because what that means is, while the matzah is a process, you have to really chew it up in order to be able to, you can't just, right? The wine, you just drink it. Drinking means the ability to just absorb something automatically. Chewing, eating, is more of an avoda. So it's very interesting. The mother somehow like automatically transfers an amuna that can just be like absorbed. And it's the father's job to then nurture that, and to try to take it to the next level. So yeah, but it is interesting. It is interesting. Why is it that halacha views the mother as providing the amuna as opposed to the father? Yeah.
Does it have anything to do with like there's no suffering of who the mother is? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, so that's part of it. That is part of it. Even though we assume your father is your father. And that's a halachic principle, that we assume that even if, God forbid, a woman was not faithful to her husband, most of the time when she's involved with someone, it is her husband. So we assume that the child is... But that's why when we daven for a chola, one of the reasons when we daven for a chola, we use the mother's name, is because we're sure that your mother is your mother. We're pretty sure your father is also your father, right? But we're absolutely sure, right? We can verify that your mother is in fact your mother. So when I daven, I want to daven with the greatest clarity. I don't want to daven, you know, generically. All sick people should get better. No. That's not how you daven. That's too general. You say, Rezel Shoshana Bas Aviva Chana Shavar Fuh Shlema. It's a real person. You can say amen. You daven for real people, right? With clarity. That's why Yaakov Avinu says, Hatzileni Na, no, Miad, Achi, save me from my brother. Who's his brother? Everyone knows. But he still says, Miyad Esav. Why do you have to say Esav? The Zohar says, because when you daven, you try to be clear. Tell Hashem what you want. Don't assume, Hashem, you know what I want. I'll talk in general. Ask for real things. Be specific. Yeah.
Tashrevi and Matzah said that Chen,
yeah,
you can't understand Chen unless you have it.
Right.
And you're saying that...
Or unless you've seen it, even.
Right. But right. You're saying that...
I put it into words.
Like experiencing chen through like tefillah specifically, you say, is something that like we have, and the Jews have it. And then he was explaining how that was really the reason why we have this amunah, and it balances it out with between us and the rest of the world, because if it was too much chen, the world can't exist.
Interesting. Yeah, chen is a mysterious thing. Rechayim HaKadosh talks about how does one come to assess chen, how does one come to chen, why Noach matza chen, what does that mean? It's a mysterious thing, chen. Okay, alright, Chaver, let's turn to the piece, Kama Ma'alot Tovot L'makom Aleinu. Kama Ma'alot Tovot L'makom Aleinu. Right, That's the phrase that we use to introduce Dayenu. Right? It's a couple of pieces afterwards. When you find the page, just call it out. Shin Sadiches on the bottom, okay. Kama ma'alos tovos l'makom aleinu. How many good ma'alos? How many good portions? How many acts of generosity did Hashem bestow upon us? And then we begin, Ilu hotziyanu mitzrayim v'lo asa b'am shvatim Dayenu. Ilu asa b'am shvatim v'lo asa b'elohayim Dayenu. Right? We go Dayenu, 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 Dayenu. Okay, good. So, says the more of a Shemesh, let's think about this for a second. Roy lishis leiv, alma shemona v'holech tovosav yisbarach shemo sha'asa imanu. Why is it that we try to put into words what Hashem did for us? Meaning we're acknowledging Hashem, kama milos tovos l'makom aleinu. It's like beyond measure, and then we start measuring it. We say, well, if you would have done this, but not this. Or how about this, but not this? Right? It's interesting that we count, we enumerate, we try to spell out all the things that Hashem did. V'nasan kintzei l'milin. Hello, alfe alafim v'chulu hatovos v'neflos shasimanu. And we kind of try to give context to our words. We try to identify. So on the one hand, we're saying, Hashem, what you've done for us is beyond. And at the same time, we're listing them. And we're not going to be able to list all of them. So why bother? And more than that, gam alashon eno migdugdak. The language is not precise. Shahayelo lomar, because what it should say is what? Kama malos tovos meha makom aleinu. That there's many good things from Hashem. Makom is the name of Hashem that we use quite a bit in the Seder. From Hashem upon us. Why does it say kama malos tovos limakom aleinu? What does that mean, limakom aleinu? What's limakom? From the makom, from Hashem. Good question. What's the malos tovos la makom aleinu? Okay, so he answers the following. Yeah, the question is, again, we're, on the one hand, we're praising Hashem, we're saying, Hashem, you've done so many things for us. Right? Like, beyond measure. That's the feeling of kama malos tovos la makom aleinu. How many things did Hashem do for us? And the answer is, we can't really answer that. I can't properly think of every heartbeat that I've ever had. Let alone all the wondrous things that Hashem did for us. And yet, then we go into this list trying to like put it into words. So, why would I do that? Right? The Gemara, for example, talks about it like by Shemona Esrei. We're very sensitive in Shemona Esrei. Right? Hakel, Hagadol, Hagivor, Vahanora. Oh, that's it? That's all I am too? I'm only those things, not other things? The Gemara says, had Moshe Rabbeinu not given us that, actually that's like a dola, not given us a framework based on Moshe Rabbeinu to say those words, that we wouldn't know what to say. So sometimes when you try to put it into words, you actually diminish it. So why don't we just leave it as kama malas tovas lakom aleinu? Why are we trying to spell it out? That's question one. And question two, why does it say these are the good things la makom aleinu? It should say meha makom aleinu. It's from Hashem. It's not la. What do you mean la makom? It's meha makom. It's from Hashem upon us. Kama malas tovas la makom. These are the good things la makom to Hashem. It's us doing to Hashem. No, it's Hashem doing to us. So it should say meha makom aleinu, from Hashem to us. So he gives a very short and sweet answer. Amnama perish pashut. A tzaddik eats to sustain his soul. However, one of the signs of a true tzaddik is he's really just happy with what he has. He's not always looking for something extra. He doesn't need the next thing. Tzaddik doesn't always need to get the latest and the finest and the newest. He's just happy. He has what he has. The tzaddik eats, right, like the pasuk says in Mishlei, lisova nafsho, to sustain, to satisfy his soul. He's not even eating for his body. He eats what he needs to eat, and he's very happy with that. He doesn't need mosros. He doesn't need extras. Right? It's fine. He goes to Golan to get his, you know, shawarma, and they're out of his favorite sauce. It's okay. Oh, my whole lunch is ruined. Because I always do the sweet chili with the garlic mayo, and today they only have garlic mayo. Chaval. And the tzaddik says, I don't need all the extras. I need to eat also to sustain my life, to sustain my nefesh, to sustain my existence, to sustain myself. But I don't need all the mosters. I don't need all the extras. I'm not in this spall from the latest ads, you know, in the Jewish publications saying, like, you should get this or you should get that. I have everything I need. I need to always upgrade this and that. V'chol ma shemashpia lo Hashem yizbarach, dai lo b'chdei l'hachil s'snafsho. He feels that what Hashem gives him is exactly what he needs. I don't need extra. I don't need more than that. He's very, very happy. V'im mashpia olav Hashem yizbarach, b'rov rachamav v'chasadav eiza hashpa yoser m'kdei kiyam hachiyos. And if Hashem gives him a bonus, something extra, if Hashem seems to be extra generous with the tzaddik, azay zos nechshav letzaddik letova rava. The tzaddik's like, whoa, that's incredible. Right? What other people expect sometimes, The tzaddik is always in the spot. Anything extra, I'm happy with the bare minimum. I'm so thankful for that. When the tzaddik gets something extra, he's like, wow, Hashem, I can't believe you gave me this. Vashpa gedola. What a great, generous gift you gave me, Hashem. I always think about the line that they say, that the Chafetz Chaim, when he wrote the Mishnah Brura, he profusely thanked Hashem for allowing him to write the Mishnah Brura. Wow, thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to write the Mishnah Brura. You know how hard the Chafetz Chaim worked to write the Mishnah Brura? You know what a favor he was doing for Hashem? The Jews should be better Jews? Who was doing who a favor by writing the Mishnah Brura? I would say Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen Miradin, the Heilig of Chafetz Chaim, was doing Hashem a favor. He was doing a Torah for Hashem. Or for Klal Yisrael. And he said, wow, Hashem, thank you for giving me the great zechus to work for you. I thought a tzaddik doesn't say, what do I get at? What are you doing for me, Hashem? Chafetz Chaim lived the most bare-bones, simple lifestyle. And he was so happy. B'simcha Rabba. Lo kein avishah mavakshu mosros. However, this is fundamental Yaakov versus Esav, no? What does Yaakov say? Yeshli kol, I have everything. What does Esav say?
I have a lot.
Yeshli rav, doing okay. How's business? Could be better. That's a choice you have to make in life. Right? Am I going to be able to look at what's going right and say, Baruch Hashem, thank you, Baruch Shalom. What is chus? Or am I always going to have a little shtickle tine in my heart, like, Hashem, you know, the guy next door has got a nicer life, a more comfortable life. Why don't I have that? The Rasha is always looking for the next thing. And that's why I look at the pasuk says about the Rishon. Ubeten Rishon Techsar. Chaver, listen to this. While the pasuk in Mishlei says that tzaddik eats just enough to sustain his existence, Ubeten Rishon Techsar. The stomach of the Rasha is always lacking. He's always hungry for more. Or as some explain the pasuk, it's as if the Rasha is lacking a stomach. Even when his stomach is full, he's like, well, I could have had another stomach. That's how they translate it. Beten Risham Tafsar. The Rasha is missing a stomach. What do you mean? I just watched you. You just ate a full portion. You should be so satisfied right now. But if I had another stomach, I'd be able to enjoy more. That's sick. V'chol mashi yagia lo me'atovos. Whatever he gets, whatever kindness Hashem bestows upon him, me'utim heim abeinav. It's not enough. It's always ma'at. It's always too little. Not enough. Insufficient. U'kolo hayu nechshav me'lav. It's not chashav enough. It's not bad, but it's not good either. That's terrible. Person will never be happy, never be satisfied, won't appreciate the fact that Hashem doesn't owe him anything. Did I tell you? I told you what Rav Tversky told me from his mother when I went to pay a Shiva call, when Rav Meir Tversky was sitting Shiva just recently. I thought I told you guys this. I don't tell me if it sounds familiar. He said that his mother had a difficult life. She had an amazing life, but she had some real difficulties in her life. She had some real nisyonos in her life. Tversky's brother was murdered by terrorists, Yimach Shemam. Moshe Tversky was murdered. Imagine having your son murdered. Oh, Leno. So he said about his mother, he said, and she had other difficulties in her life. He said she never had any tainas on Hashem. And he gave such a good mashal. You know what he said? Tversky said, imagine one year someone gives you, yeah, imagine I send Aryeh for his birthday, I send him a check. Go buy yourself something nice. He opens up the card. Right, a nice card. Happy birthday, Arya Malaysia. Have a blessed year. It's a nice check inside for $1,000. Very nice. Very generous. Very nice. Imagine next year, it's his birthday again. Right? And I send him a card. He's all excited. He opens up the card. $100 check. Last year got $1,000. Most people, a little bit, after getting the $1,000 check, are going to feel like...
Yeah.
Now, let's keep in mind that I don't owe you $1,000, I don't owe you $100. And had I not given you $1,000, $100, that's also pretty nice. $100 is pretty nice. Rav Tversky said that's how his mother looked at life. Hashem, there were times when Hashem gave me $1 million. And there were times where Hashem gave me less. But I'm gonna, because Hashem gave me a little less this time, so therefore I have a complaint? Hashem doesn't owe me anything. That's what he said. She lived her life with a sense that Hashem didn't owe her anything. So that means even when she went through tragic things in her life, she was able to say, but look what Hashem's giving me right now. Hashem's still giving me, I'm still breathing. I'm still alive. Still have a neshama. Still have so many other things to be grateful for. Right? But we look at it, we're like, what do you mean? Hashem, last year you gave me 1,000. Last year I had a really good year. So this year, all of a sudden, Hashem's only giving me 100 and now I'm mad at God. I thought that was such a profound way to look at things. Hashem doesn't owe us anything. So the Rasha always feels, Hashem, this is not enough. This is insufficient. The Rasha says, well, last year you gave me more. Oh, my friend got more. This one had it easier. This one had it better. The Rasha always has timeless. Vizel amru kama malos tovos lamakum aleinu. So, chavra, as we say dayenu at the Seder, listen to what we're saying, perish. Shezeh tova. Hu shemagia lahashem yisparach. Kiviyachol me aleinu. Shekol masha osa lanu dai be'einenu. Ve'ein anu mevakshim mosros. Kama malos tovos lamakom aleinu. What does it mean? What are we able to do for our Kadosh Baruch Hu? How do we give back to Hashem? By what? Thank you. By saying, Hashem, you don't owe me any of these things. We don't come to the Seder saying, we suffered for 210 years, so of course you owe us all these things. We don't ask that. You know what? Kama malas tomas la makom from us. Right? Kiviyachol me aleinu. What do we do for Hashem? We can do for Hashem by being Dayenu types of Jews. By knowing the truth. And it's not a favor. It's called being honest. Hashem actually doesn't owe us anything. But Hashem says, I'm proud of you when at least you have humility to recognize that. So kama malas tovos lamakom aleinu. Every time we say thank you, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, right? And we're able to say ilu hotzianu hayagam kin dayenu, had you just taken us out of Mitzrayim, that would have been enough. What? That's not enough. You owe me compensation. Where's my rechush gadol? Where's the money you promised me? Hashem, you owe me like this. You owe me like that. You need to explain all the suffering. You didn't make sense of all this. Hashem says, listen, buddy, I don't owe you anything. So when we come to the Seder and we say, Kama malas tovos, la malkam aleinu, look what we can give back to Hashem, and the answer is by being people who every step of our way, we say, thank you Hashem, dayenu, dayenu, dayenu. I'm not Esav, I don't always need more, I'm not complaining, this is okay, it could be better. The thing that we contribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, had you taken us out of Mitzrayim, and never given us the Torah, and never taken us to Eretz Yisrael, and never anything, then dayenu. I should be able to live the rest of my life off of that hakar sato, just by not keeping me as a slave in Mitzrayim. But we get spoiled. Because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and He did miracles, and He split the sea, and He gave us the man, and He gave us Shabbos, and He gave us the Torah, and He took us to Eretz Yisrael. So we become spoiled brats sometimes. And then the second HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws a little bit of a nisayon on our way, all of a sudden we're like, oh, God doesn't exist. Really? Until now, when things were good, God exists, and now all of a sudden, the birthday check is only for $100 instead of $1,000, and all of a sudden, like, I don't know. I don't know if I believe like I used to. That's totally self-serving. That's so gaivadik. So that's part of what we have to do. When we close our eyes and say, Dayenu, we have to really feel in a deep way. And Hashem is thanking us for that, for having that attitude. That's the Milos Tovos, La Makom, that's what we can contribute to Hashem, Me Aleinu, from us. That sense of genuine recognition that Hashem really, really doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't. He really doesn't owe us anything. I'll tell you what I said this past Friday night in Shul. Just came back to me now. It says, Parshas Vayikra begins, Adam ki yakriv mikem, karban la'Hashem. So Chazal say, mikem v'lo kulchem. from you, mikem, from you, velo kulchem, not all of you. The Gemara says, prat lemumar. Comes to exclude a mumar or a mishumar. Comes to exclude a Jew who's what? Who's rejected Torah. He's not eligible to bring a karban. We don't take karbanos from everyone. Mikem, from you, from among you, but not from all of you. From you, but not all of you. But I'll tell you another pshat that I think you could say in mikem velo kulchem. Hashem asks a lot of us, no? I was saying before, being a Jew is a big responsibility. But just remind yourself, when it seems like Hashem is so demanding, remind yourself it's mikem velo kulchem. Most of the time Hashem says, I'm just asking for a something, I'm not asking for everything. Mikem velo kulchem. I'm asking from you, but not all of you. So what does that mean? So I'll explain it with the Medrash, the amazing Medrash, one of my favorite Medrashim, because it's just so honest. There's a pasuk in Iyov that says, Mi hikdimani v'ashalem. Mi hikdimani. Who came before me? V'ashalem, and I will compensate him. So the Medrash says like this. Did you ever do for Hashem before Hashem did for you? A person says, Hashem, I sing your praises. Hashem says, right, and I gave you a neshama to be able to sing those praises. A neshama is a song of the soul. Kol ha-neshama, palka, aluka. So a person says, well, I gave my little baby a bris milah. Hashem says, right, and I gave you the baby. Well, I built a roof on my, I built a fence on my roof. So Hashem says, right, and I gave you a house. Well, I put the mezuzah on the door. I gave you the doorway. Well, I built the sukkah in my yard. Hashem says, I gave you the space. I gave you the makom. I bought a lulav. Hashem says, I gave you the money. I put tzitzis on my garment. Hashem says, right, because I gave you a garment. And the Medrash concludes, it has more examples. I gave peah for my field. Hashem says, I gave you produce. I separated challah from my dough. Hashem says, I provided you with the dough, with the flour. A person says, Rabbon Shalom, I brought you a karban. And Hashem says, right, and I gave you the animal. And that, to me, that's mikem velo kulchem. Hashem says, of all the money I give you, ask for a little bit of tzedakah. Of all the time and life that I give you, ask, take a couple of minutes and put on tefillin. Open your siddur, daven shachas for a couple of minutes. 24 hours of the day I gave you. You can't give me a couple of minutes to daven. You're too busy to remember to daven mincha. You're so busy, you don't have time for mincha. I ask for a couple of minutes. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for everything. Right? It's rare that I ask for everything. I asked Avram to give me his everything. But I don't ask you on a regular basis for everything. I ask for a little bit. You're eating food? I ask for, take 3 seconds and say a bracha. That's all I'm asking for. I gave you a delicious meal. Take a minute. Take a minute to say a bracha achrona. That's the whole thing. Okay? As the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. Yeah, questions, comments, someone had their hand up, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of the rasha wanting to, he's missing his stomach.
Yeah.
I thought about like being a kosher animal in terms of like that, the chewing its cud.
Chewing its cud, that's right.
But also I thought it was interesting because
reappreciating what you already ate.
We're like talking about Pesach and like with the Korban Pesach that the animals didn't necessarily do anything either and they're just kind of being like, selected as like the holy animals, I guess.
Like what?
And they have the extra stuff.
Okay.
I don't
know. Sort of what you're saying. But chewing the cud's an interesting thing. Right? To re-digest one's food, in other words, to appreciate it. Right? Not always looking for the next thing, but to come back and to re-appreciate what you have already enjoyed. Okay, let's do one last piece. Interesting. Okay, matzazu, the next piece. We'll do the next piece, and then we'll end. Matzazu sh'anu oichlim al shuma. So we ask in the Haggadah, right, Rabbi Gamliel says, anyone who doesn't say Pesach matzah maror has not fulfilled their religious obligation. And then we go through it. Matzazu sh'anu oichlim, this matzah that we eat, al shuma, for what purpose? What's it commemorating? Because we did not allow the dough of our ancestors to rise. They were busy baking bread, and Hashem said, we got to go now. And the Jews said, can you give us a couple more minutes? No, they didn't say that. They said, "We're okay." They grab their dough in its unfinished form, and they hit the road. Yesh lahavin v'mahus hasheila. So hold on a second. Are we really asking what's the deal with matzah? Maya kashalom if they ma'anu ochlen matzah. What do you mean? Why do we eat matzah? How about the fact that the Torah says, like we learned 2 days ago, like we learned Monday morning, for 7 days you should eat matzah. Could eat matzah, you should eat matzah. The Torah says matzah. Or how about the pasuk in Shemos? Be'erev tochlu matzos. The pasuk in Parshas Bo. Be'erev tochlu matzos. Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? What do you mean? Hashem said so. Why do I shake a lulav on Sukkot? Because the Torah says, ulakachtav lachem b'yom harishon, priyei tzadar, kapot samarim. Take the dalad minim. Azoy shtet in Parshas Zemar. So why do we eat matzah? Because it says in Parshas Bo, you should eat matzah. I don't know. What's the question? You're looking for what inspired Hashem to make the mitzvah? Hello, Hashem yisvach tziva lanu shenoichel matzos shiva yomim. Hashem tells us to eat matzah. And more than that, the answer that we do give, gam hateretz eino maspik. The answer that we gave, that what? We didn't have time for the bread to rise. That's also not... It doesn't seem to be sufficient. We were told about eating matzah before we were rushed out of Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, Hashem told us about the mitzvah of matzah. Before we packed our bags for the road. So which matzah are we commemorating? We ate matzah already before the Gula. And we eat matzah because Hashem gave us a mitzvah of achilas matzah. So what's this question? Matzah zoshana oichlim al shumma. Because we raced out of Mitzrayim at the last minute. Is that really the matzah that we're eating? Amnam yira'el pi maimer bala gadol l'mayla. Perhaps we can gain insight from something we say earlier in the Haggadah. V'afilu kulanu chachamim kulanu nevonim. No matter how smart and wise you are, mitzvah alinu l'saper b'yasiyas Mitzrayim. Shekol amar v'lesaper v'chulu. The more you tell the story, the better. We need to again to ask the question, what is so significant? Why is it so important to tell a story that I already know? Why is it saying, even if you're really smart, you have to still tell the story, and the more you do, the better? What's going on with that? So we find the holy tzaddikim tell us that when it says in the Haggadah, Ani v'lo malach, Ani v'lo saraf, v'chulo, I took you out, Hashem says. It was I. It was not an angel. It was not a malach. It was not a saraf, an even higher type of angel. It was not a shliach. It was not a Moshe Rabbeinu. She Yisrael hayu mishukan b'mitzrayim b'memtes shari tuma. We have to recognize the fact that we were in a very precarious situation in the 49th level of tuma. That Hashem not only chose to save us, but had to save us, because the angels were scared to go to such a tamei place, that angels were concerned that they would become contaminated. They would become more gashmi by the avir tamei, by the impure air of Mitzrayim, the filth of Mitzrayim. We pass ma'aseim lo hayu be'ef shari shigalu. And from the perspective of our own efforts, our actions, we were not worthy of salvation. So angels couldn't help us. We weren't worthy. So what got us out? Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf, ani v'lo shliach. Rak shehamatzil ha'elyon kie ma'amaro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the angels can't come to your rescue. And you are really not worthy. So why am I coming to bail you out? As the Pasuk says, the one who emanates from above, fulfills what the pasuk says, lema'ani, lema'ani e'eseh. Hashem says, I do what I want. Nothing stops me. Not paro, not tuma, not unworthiness. Hashem says, when I want something, I do it. For my sake, I will do. Lema'ani, lema'ani e'eseh. V'nisyached minei ubei, below isarusa delatata. Very often, Yiddishkeit is a partnership between us and Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says what? I want there to be an isarusa delatata, an arousal from below. the latata from below. But sometimes Hashem has to be nisyachir minei ubei, in his words. Hashem has to unify with himself because there's no partner to work with. Hashem's got nobody to work with. The angel's like, we can't help you. This is too messy for us. This job's too complex for us. Klal Yisrael, maybe you have some merit to present? Not really. So Hashem's like, all right, I guess I'm on my own on this one. No isurus latata. No help from below, no help from above. Vofia aleim pnimius elokuso. So Kadosh Baruch Hu shines upon us, he radiates upon us the pnimius, the inner essence of his godliness. Vinisbata lachiza sachitzonim v'yatzamei agalus. And Kadosh Baruch Hu causes what? A breakdown of the captivity of the chitzonim, whatever sitra ach, whatever tumah is holding us back. And Hashem says, I'm taking you out. He grabs us and he pulls us out. No partnership. Because Baruch Hu in his kindness saves us. V'chein b'chol mitzvah u'mitzvah. And there's an element in every mitzvah that we don't really have the means to help ourselves. This is a very humbling Gemara. The Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, Hinei Amru Chazal, She'yitzvah shel adam is gaber alav b'chol yom. Your Yetzahara is growing on a daily basis. That's true on an individual level, and that's perhaps the trajectory of the world. The world's going to get more and more difficult as time goes on. V'ilulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Eino Yacholo. That's the end of the quote from the Gemara. And if not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, if not for Hashem helping you, which is why we always have to say the words Be'ezras Hashem, when a person says, I'm going to do this, Be'ezras Hashem, right? I've got this great idea of how I'm going to start a new business, Be'ezras Hashem, because I can't do anything without the help of Hashem. I'm looking forward to Pesach because over Pesach I plan to learn whatever Masechta, Be'ezras Hashem. I'm getting up tomorrow morning and getting to davening on time, Be'ezras Hashem. Because Yetzirah is always going to try to block me, whether it's Gashmius, Ruchnius. Yetzirah is always throwing stumbling blocks, and if Hashem's not helping me, then I'm not going to be Matzliach. V'chein Omer Admor Harav HaKadosh Rabbeinu Elimelech Zatzal. Says the Heilige Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk, my holy Rebbe. On the pasuk, Hallelu ka, ki tov zamra elokeinu. This goes mamish back to what I told you a few minutes ago, that medrash. Right? Hallelujah, ki tov zamra eloheinu. Look at the words. Ki tov zamra, what's the next word? Elokeinu. That's not what it should say. What should it say? Leilokeinu. It's good to sing to our God. What do we mean, Tov Zamra Elokeinu? Who's singing? Hashem singing to himself? Who's singing? Hallelujah. Why? Ki Tov Zamra Elokeinu. It's good that Hashem sings? That's not what David's trying to say. If I wasn't paying attention, I would say that David's probably saying, Ki Tov Zamra Elokeinu. He's giving us advice. It's good to sing to God, sing praises to Hashem. Explains the Rebbe Elimelech Lezhensk, who's paying attention to the words of Tilim carefully. No, that's not what it says. That's not what it meant. Shekiviyachol Hashem Yisbarach Hu HaMezamer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's singing. Because, chaver, even when you're singing to Hashem, like I told you, the first example in that medrash I shared with you is what? Hashem, look, I sing to you. Hashem says, who gave you the neshama to sing to me? So it's as if Hashem is singing to himself. It's as if we have to do our part to pretend that we're, you know, helping out. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is getting it done. We have to realize, like David HaMelech says elsewhere, listen to this carefully, a gevaldik little remez. We say, David HaMelech says, Lakel Gomer Elai. Lakel Gomer Elai. Lakel Gomer Elai means that Kel Hashem is Gomer Elai. He finishes off for me. What does that mean? It means there's no project that you could dream of and want to start that you're going to be able to see through without Hashem's guidance. Lakel Gomer Alai. Hashem finishes for me. I can't see this through. I will eventually get stuck. If Hashem doesn't help me to carry it through, it's not going to go. If Hashem doesn't want it to go, it's not going to go. Parshas Pekudei, Rashi says that when the Mishkan was finally done, so everyone kind of looked at Moshe and said, hey Moshe, you didn't do anything for the Mishkan. You didn't help, like, build it. So Hashem left over the beams, to stand up the beams, because they were very heavy. No one could lift them. Rashi says, since Moshe didn't have a chance to do anything, Moshe mechubed with standing up the beams, the atzei shitim oimdim. So Rashi, and let's tell this Rashi in Pekudei. So Rashi says what? So Moshe Rabbeinu goes to lift the beams, and what?
He doesn't actually.
They're too heavy. So Hashem says, Moshe, psst, pretend to lift the beams, and I'll lift the beams. That's called the Kel Gomer La. You do your part, which is really just pretending to help out. And Hashem says, I will finish the job. Lekel Gomer Alai.
It's like when you see those like cooking videos with like the little kids where the parents like helping them, like holding
that's right.
their arms.
Yeah,
like,
that's right. Thanks for helping me out. Right, exactly. Exactly. So says Rav Ephraim Tversky from Chicago, you say for Sari Alafim, Gavaldik Sefer, we quoted it a couple times. He says, what happens if a Jew, God forbid, flips it around and thinks, no, Hashem, listen, you maybe got me started, but I got this, I'll take it from here. God forbid a person says, Alai Gomer Lakel, I'll finish for you. I'm not going to say you didn't help me at all, but like, right, the credit goes to the one who sees the job through. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Hakol Holech Achar Achitum. Whoever finishes the job gets the credit. Whoever sees the job through to the end. It's easy to have, you know, lofty ideas, but to bring it out to the world, to actualize it, that's very chashuv. So what happens when a Jew says, instead of lakel gomer alai, if a Jew, lovelenu, says, alai gomer lakel, he says, that's called cheta ego. Alai gomer lakel is Rosh Yitzchak's ego. That's what he says. Alai gomer lakel, I will finish for you, God. I'm not going to deny you helped a little bit, but I, for the most part, this was my idea. I did this. Look how Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's almost, it's a very powerful Rashi, because, the great Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The ultimate one who's doing for Hashem. Moshe's going to finish the Mishkan, he's going to stand up the beams now. He can't do it. Hashem, what are you, mocking Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem says, no, Moshe has the humility to teach this lesson to Klal Yisrael. You pretend to do it, but I'm the one who's actually going to do it. When you cut me out and you think you got it, Alai Gomer Lakel, I'll take it from here. You took us out of Mitzrayim, God, we'll take it from here. Thank you very much. That's called Cheta Ego. That's called Ego. So even when we sing to Hashem, David Melech is saying a wild thing. Ki Tov Zamra Lokeinu. Even when I sing to Hashem, I'm not Zamra Le Lokeinu. I'm not singing to Hashem. Hashem is singing to himself through me. Thank you, Hashem, for letting me be your microphone. Thank you, Hashem, for letting me be your sound speaker, you know? Thank you for talking through me, Hashem. I appreciate that opportunity. Without Hashem's help, you couldn't say a word. Couldn't sing one praise. So the Rebbe says a wild thing. The Rebbe says, think about it. The Jewish people saw an incredible miracle that they grabbed their dough and they took it on the road and they kept it in a place where, why did the dough suddenly, right? It says, they left Mitzrayim before their dough could rise. All right, so now they're on the road and their dough is still rising, no? It's not like time stopped. They changed locations. So instead of the dough sitting on the counter, now they're carrying it on their shoulders. They threw it in their, right? You know how to prevent something from becoming chametz? If you keep moving it, keep working it, it won't become chametz. So now they're on the road, they're busy with all these other things, they're basically leaving their dough alone, of course it's going to become chametz. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle that what? Not that they didn't have time for their dough to rise, Hashem protected their dough from rising. You know why? So that they could have matzah. They're very busy trying to get ready, they're packing their bags for the road. How did they have the matzah? The answer is Hashem protected their matzah. Hashem was ozram v'ziko asam shelo yachmitz yisasam, that their dough should not become chametz, so that they could fulfill the mitzvah that Hashem had already given them in Mitzrayim, which is what? The mitzvah of achilas matzah.
Wow.
So now, listen carefully. We say, holy brothers gathered around, and sisters gathered around the Pesach Seder. Afilu kulanu chachamim mitzvah leinu l'safer b'yisiyas Mitzrayim. Perish. Mishu chacham v'navon. Hey, Mr. Smarty Pants. So Hashem says to us. You know so much. Lo yidama b'nafsho shachach maso amdolo l'kayim ha-mitzvahs. Remember, like we learned last week, no? Barav tochlu matzos. Matzos is Rashi Tevos, what? Mezuzah. Tzitzis. Tefillin, right? The three areas you have to be humble in. So we say to a person, don't think that your wisdom is going to be sufficient. Remember what happened when we left Mitzrayim. She'alulei Hashem Yisbarach hotziyam l'ma'an na'ad. Hashem not taking us out for His sake. Lo haya be'ef shari she'yigrimu al yidei ma'aseim miserus ha'delela. We didn't have the merits to get out. And the angels could not help us. We were really stuck. If not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing it for us. We didn't contribute. He did the whole thing. Agam shayu shishim ribo v'hayu v'hem harbi chacham v'tzadikim. You'll tell me, but what do you mean? How does that make sense? They were so bad. There were some really good Jews among them. We couldn't create that arousal above. We couldn't contribute our part to, so to speak, wake Hashem up to our cause. It was Hashem on His own choosing to save us. So the more details of the story that you can give credit to Hashem, and leave no space to say, like, well, maybe I contributed a little bit over there. No, no, no. Show how Hashem took care of every step from A to Z. Shekol mashamar b'lesaper yoser lahamik b'nei sisiyas Mitzrayim. The more you tell the story, the more you show how downtrodden we were, and the more you show how Hashem provided for us every step of the way, that's an honest telling of the story. Ve'eich shayu mishukoyim v'lo hayu be'ef shari sheyigalu, that we were so low, that there was no way for us to get out. Im lo Hashem yizbar ga'olam l'man shumo. It's not for Hashem taking us out for His sake. Ah, so makir hu yoser v'yoser. A person realizes more and more. She'ein ha'odam yachol lasos ma'uma. A person can't do anything. Can't even take a breath. Can't say a word. Can't take a step. U'v'chlal sipur yitzias mitzrayim hu gam kein l'saper eich sh'Hashem yizbarach ozram. Look how Hashem helped our chametz, our dough not become chametz. Hagam shaholchu baderech, even though we were traveling, v'isasam b'simla al shichmam, and we were carrying our dough on our shoulders. V'lo hayav efshri lishmor michimut, so we didn't have the attentiveness, as we were too busy with other things, to pay attention to the dough. And Hashem guarded our dough. Hashem protected it. Rak be'ezer elokim lo hechmit. Umizeh yeida, shekol hamitzvos kulam in ha'adam osim u'uma imlosh Hashem Yisbarach ozro. V'shmartim es ha-matzos, v'shmartim es ha-mitzvos. What's the lesson of the matzah? You didn't make the matzah. Hashem kept His eye on the matzah. Hashem made sure the matzah stayed matzah. Hashem's going to make sure your mitzvos stay mitzvos. Don't take the credit for yourself. Lakel gomer alai. Try to help. Pretend you're lifting up the beams, like Moshe Rabbeinu. But don't for a second think that it's you. So that's the punchline. V'zeu amra, matzah zo shanu oichlim. Ashum ma, this matzah that we eat, what is it commemorating? Perish. Eich efshar lechol matzah, shitiyah mishumeris vadai. Ready for this? Look at this punchline. You sit at the Seder and you say, I got the most kosher, mahadrin, min mahadrin matzos. I had every chumrah, the brisker of. I watched these matzos myself to make sure that they're not chametz. I got it. I took care of it from A to Z. A Jew sits at the Seder, and there's this little voice, and it sounds like a very evil voice, but it's actually a very healthy voice. It's whispering in your ear, are you sure? What if you messed up? What if it's chametz? What if you think this is the most kosher matzah in the world, but like, what if there's like a little bubble or a little crack or a little something that's off, and you're going to be chayv karis? You sure you want to eat that? Valo davar gadol hu ma'od. Shelo yebo shum chashash klal lu klal afilu mimashu chametz. You sure? When you kashered the kitchen sink, you sure you did it right? Kashered the oven, you sure you did it right? You swept up all the crumbs, you sure you did it right? You checked the products? Maybe you accidentally, maybe, as you're sitting down, you're about to eat, shulchan aruch, right? Maybe... You know, you get those emergency emails sometimes, like, be careful if you shopped at this grocery store, some chametz product ended up in the Pesach aisle. and it may have ended up in your dish. Right? Who can have the audacity to come to the Seder with the confidence that their home is really kosher Pesach? So a person will say, what do you mean? Do you know how hard I worked? Do you know how much I took care of everything from A to Z? And Hashem says, really, you took care of, you did it everything? Yeah? It's all you? You worked hard, but let's be honest. If I want to mess you up, I can mess you up. Hashem says, I'm in charge here. So who can be sure that they fulfill this mitzvah of achilas matzah properly? Who's to say your matzah is kosher l'Pesach? The matzah that we're about to eat, al shuma, we're not asking what's its origin. There's a lot of points of origin. There's a lot of reasons for eating the matzah. Al shuma, we're saying to you, by what right do you think you have the confidence to eat this matzah? But Omar, I'll tell you why. Because the same way Al Shum Shalo Hispik Batsekim Shalavoseinu, just like Hashem guarded the dough of my ancestors to keep it from becoming chametz. What's a lomar? Such a different way to read it. Shanu Soch Hashem Ba'azreinu. Hashem is by our side helping us. Shalo Yeh B'mitzvahs Matzah Shum Chashash. You know how I can trust this matzah? Because I know it's not up to me. Nothing in life is up to me. I'm leaning on Hashem. The same way Hashem protected the dough of my ancestors. When they couldn't keep an eye on it, Hashem made sure it stayed proper. They couldn't keep an eye on it properly. They were too busy trying to save their lives. But they trusted and they knew with humility that Hashem was the one who's going to take care of things. Kain anu niftach ba Hashem, shehu ya'azur lanu. L'kayim mitzvahs matzah kilchasa. So with that same hope and that same attitude, I look forward to being mekayim the mitzvah of matzah properly. But God forbid for a person to think. God forbid for a person to think, I got it. It's, you know, I got it totally under control. It's like that story that they tell of the... How does it go? What's the maisa? There's a maisa with the... maisa with the Rebbe and the... got a bowl of soup on Pesach, and then it looked like there were kernels of wheat in his soup. And the shrimal, what was it? Yeah, how's it gone?
After a wedding, like it's like a sitting midnight to like throw wheat on like
right. A Pesach. And it was in his, and he thought, well, what do you think? I went to his father-in-law's house. And he, right, and they served him the soup, right, that's what it was. They served him the soup, and he looked in, and he's like, what are these kernels of wheat floating in my soup? Right, and then he realized that they had fallen out of his own shrimal. Right, which had picked up some stuff at the wedding where they have the minhag of throwing. Right? So it's very easy to point a finger and say, like, oh, someone else's fault. Right? Or it's very easy to, God forbid, the opposite direction, say, oh, no, I'm the one I'm going to take charge. If Hashem, if you don't trust Hashem, then there's no guarantees that your matzah is matzah, and your home is kosher l'pesach. But if I do the best I can, and I daven, l'kel gomer alai, Hashem, please help me, because I have the humility, I have the sincerity, I have the historical recognition that I had nothing in Mitzrayim, and that's true really about everything in my life. I don't have any money. What do you mean? I'll show you how much money I have in my bank account. What do you mean? I don't have any money. So we can make all the banks collapse in a second, as you've seen in recent weeks. Things can change in a second. You don't have anything. People lose their health in a second. People lose everything in a second. We have to, again, we're not supposed to live with fear, but we're supposed to live with the real sense that what? That I'm relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like I told you, that's how we spend the Seder night leaning. We're leaning on Hashem. We're expecting Hashem to catch us. Okay, so with that, we will stop our Mor Shemesh here. Whoa. And today's sugya, Chovid Pesach, is the mitzvah of Haseba, of leaning. Okay, so let's